Jack is standing by. He will be in momentarily, and we got lots to talk about today. Of course, we have the Vikings. They get the win last night. We're really aided by a Bears offense that was dreadful in the red zone. Five trips into the red zone and just 3 points for the Bears. So they really struggled when they got down into that part of the field, and also had 3 turnovers, 8 penalties. So they really struggled in that game. And the Vikings, you know, their offense, Kirk Cousins, he had a season low in yardage, just 87 yards. And so that's something that is really not the Vikings aren't used to and really accustomed to, is Kirk Cousins usually has strong yardage games, but they didn't really need him to have a prolific passing game. And that's just something that they got to deal with. And we're able to get the win, though, in a big victory there for the Vikings as they move to 7-7. They are back in the final wild card spot in the NFC. And so they are now sitting in at number 7. Of course, it depends on the outcome tonight. If Washington defeats the Eagles, then what, the Washington football team moves back in to that final wild card spot. But if the Eagles win, then the Vikings would stay at number 7. The Eagles would be 8, and then the Saints would be 9. So it's going to come down, I think, probably to the last game of the season for that final wild card spot in the NFC, because it's just, I've never seen the NFL. I know the NFL prides itself on parity, but at this point in the year, there's only 3 games remaining, and just one NFC team has been officially eliminated from the playoff picture, and that's the Lions. And in the AFC, there's only 3. Everybody else in the AFC is at least 7-7, which is just remarkable. You think about how tight those races are going to be, where everybody in the 3 wild card spots right now is sitting at 8-6. And so that's a big one coming up there. And of course, we got the Minnesota Wild. They fell last night 7-4 to the Dallas Stars. Wild are now on a 4-game losing streak. But the bigger news right now in the NHL is that they are going on a little bit of a COVID pause. So they will pause games from Wednesday to Saturday, and then teams will return to the facilities on Sunday, and then games will resume on Monday. Because the NHL right now, COVID is really hitting them hard, as it is with all of the professional sports leagues. And you think about the NHL, I believe officially there's only one player that is unvaccinated, a player for the Detroit Red Wings. So this is just something that's really going through the league. A lot of the players appear to have mild symptoms or just be asymptomatic. So that is a good thing. But nonetheless, the NHL deciding to temporarily pause the season. And then you think about the Olympics coming up. That's certainly looking dicey and bleak for the prospects of a lot of players going over to China to compete at the 2022 Winter Olympics, when the NHL, they postponed all these games and they allotted basically 2.5 weeks for the Olympic break. If the NHL wants to get their season in on time, they're probably going to have to think about scheduling and playing those games over the Olympic break, because it's just, otherwise we'll be playing hockey until mid-July, which would be pretty strange. And obviously a year and a half ago, when the NBA had their bubble as well as the NHL, their seasons ran really late, but that's not something that either one of those leagues wants to replicate. So we've got another NFL game today, tonight, the Rams and the Seahawks. The Rams, they were dealing with COVID, so they had their game moved from Sunday. And that's a huge game for the Rams. If they can win, they would tie the Seahawks for what would be the biggest, they would tie them in the NFC West, and that would be a huge, a huge thing going on there. And we're going to take a quick call here, folks. So one moment. All right, folks, thanks for hanging tight there. And we've got Derek Hansen on the line. So, Derek, thanks for joining me. And obviously a big win for the Vikes last night. You know, they moved back to 500, 7-7, and their defense really clamped down and made life difficult for the Bears in the red zone for sure.
Yeah, it was, you know, this long before your time, probably, Matthew, but there was a time, it was a bad Monday Night Football game, and Howard Cosell once said, this is an exercise in futility, and that's kind of what we saw last night. That was not necessarily great football whatsoever that we saw last night from the Minnesota Vikings and Chicago Bears, but, you know, at this point, you're just going to take any win you can get, right? I mean, after seeing what the Lions did to Kansas, to the Arizona Cardinals, you're just taking them, and now you're alive. I mean, you're sitting there kind of waiting to, now I can't remember what scenario they said, right? If Philadelphia wins tonight, I think then if the, as they always say, is the season were to end today, well, then you'd have a situation where the Vikings would be in the playoffs. But, you know, this is, let's face it, I mean, this is a good, not great team whatsoever. I mean, same thing last night. You saw a little bit of Kirk Cousins. He's good. He's not great by any stretch of the imagination. So I don't know. For me, more than anything else, I'm kind of, you're just kind of writing it out now with the last three games of the season. We'll see how it all plays out for them. But it's aggravating because you know that they got some talent there. They just can't finish it off. And I got to say this on both sides of the ball, because I thought the Bears got hosed a lot too. That officiating crew, that was one of the worst. I mean, they lost control of the game. They were reactionary. I still don't understand. I don't think the official saw Justin Fields kneel down. I don't think that Lynch, the defensive lineman, thought Justin Fields kneeled down, and then he called it a penalty. Well, I mean, the way things took place there, it happened so fast. That was just, it was a bizarre game on so many different levels.
Yeah, it really was. And yeah, the officiating crew, they just didn't really provide any or elaborate on any of the calls, seemingly. There were some big calls at the end of the game. You think about that Mooney touchdown on fourth down where he just wasn't able to get in bounds, and the referees right. really didn't elaborate on what went on there, and kind of that when Kirk was stopped on that run deep in their own territory and had that knee slide down just short of the first down, really wasn't an explanation there. So it really, and the game got kind of chippy. I mean, there were a few, you know, Matt Nagy getting an unsportsmanlike conduct on the sideline, and Gibson for the Bears, he got an unnecessary roughness, and there was another one later in the game. So yeah, the referees, I think, did kind of lose control of the game, but the Bears offense, I mean, my goodness, just five trips into the red zone and only 3 points, and, you know, they obviously turned the ball over on downs three times. I mean, Matt Nagy, this is a team that 3.5 years ago went 12-4, and he made Mitch Trubisky look like a competent quarterback that maybe had a future in the NFL. I mean, what has happened to his coaching acumen?
I don't know. I think more than anything is obviously they've been very inconsistent in the offensive line. So you can X and O as long as you want, but if you don't have anyone to block up front, that's not going to get it done. But I also thought it was a little strange. I mean, they needed when they were having a little bit of success, they had a little bit of rhythm and they were throwing the ball, right? I mean, I thought that they got a little bit too run happy, and it goes back to what I preach all the time, is having balance. And it just seems like they didn't want to have a kid make mistakes. But, you know, the way that the defense was set up for the Vikings, Justin Fields had had a chance there to go and dink and dunk his way down the field a couple times, and they just seemed to get too cute at some point, and then they were, you know, just able to come up a little bit short. So it's a strange game in every aspect of the, you know, the fact that the Bears had a lot more offensive yards, and the Vikings, you know, just could not get a rhythm offensively at all, which is not uncommon. That was my biggest concern coming into this game, because they just, for whatever reason, and let's just face it, the Vikings haven't played for, what, a week and a half almost?
Whatever
strategy they had where they thought that Mason Cole could match up against Akeem Hicks all night, I don't understand that at all. Hicks has owned the Vikings. I mean, he's been a one-man wrecking crew against the Vikings. Because isn't Matt Nagy, I think he's what, he's only lost once. I think last night was his first time losing to the Vikes. So I don't understand it. I don't know why they thought that would work, because Mason Cole was outmatched last night.
Yeah.
This whole offensive line structure they have right now, I don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, the interior of their line with Mason Cole and Garrett Bradbury as well really was kind of overwhelmed yesterday. And we do have Jack in the studio. So, Jack, thanks for joining us.
I got stuck down the hall. I was printing stuff off. And is this Derek?
It is.
Hi, Derek. How you doing? Yeah, so you ever get stuck by the copier? It went down, and I went by, and I'm like getting sheets together, prepping for the game tomorrow. And I went, I got that. Okay, I came down with that. Okay, I got this. Why is my copier working? And I turn around, and I just turned up somebody and said, is it noon yet? Someone said, it's like 12:13. I'm like, oh, my God. So, how you guys doing? You miss me?
It's the holiday season. We are all messed up. We don't know what day it is. It is Tuesday, right?
Is it Tuesday? I literally was like down the hall. I turned down the hall. I went, what the heck's Matt? Looks like he's talking on the air already. Why would he be on the air? It's, oh my, it's 12:13. Oh, yeah. Okay, well, good. Well, it's nice to have you. Thank you,
guys.
Well,
welcome to your show.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah, it was the... Yeah. It was that, it was this, and it was that. By the way, I don't know if you guys have touched on it already, but Derek, those are like 3 hours we're not going to get back last night, the Vikings-Bears game, correct?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's kind of what we said. I said to Matt, you know, this is long before his time, but you remember the Monday Night Football game where it was just a bad game, and Howard Cosell said, this is an exercise in futility. Yeah, and that was it last night. I mean, that is... That was not great football at all.
Yeah.
I have a question for the game before that, too.
Right.
I don't know if he caught the end of it, but so the Raiders are out of timeouts, and they get a holding penalty. And I don't know if because of the running time, don't they usually take 10 seconds off the clock? I got to get a clarification when they take 10 seconds off the clock. Because that happened last night. But that was weird because I don't think Daniel Carlson should have had enough time. And maybe a texter or someone can help us out with that.
Right. No, I've seen that too. But you're right on that. If you're out of timeouts, and depending on the penalty that it is, and it's on you that it's this and that, and if it's an accepted penalty, they have the runoff. We saw that yesterday also where it went from a 8 to 58. Was that in that game too, Derek? I'm not sure. It was like it went from 108 to 58 on a penalty on a runoff.
Yeah.
On a 10-second runoff. So, yeah. I don't know. Both games, I don't know who to feel for. You know, I look at Las Vegas, and I look what they've been through this year, and you know, from tragedy, from the accident, and it's just going to change lives forever and just ruin a career and ruin a family, and there's death and all of that. The John Gruden thing, you know, and so you don't – the Raiders, I don't know where they sit in my world right now, whether I'm pulling for them, rooting against – I don't know what – maybe I'm either. And then Cleveland decimated – and now you've got a third stringer in there that is like learning on the fly, and all of a sudden it looks like he might pull it out. So I found myself kind of leaning towards Cleveland. Then I realized, it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. What the heck? I mean, it doesn't even feel like the right time for 4 o'clock on a Monday afternoon for a football game. So anyway, I don't know. Then the Vikings Bears that was. I said this morning on KFGOD and Matt. Listening to it and nothing to get, you know, exciting, but it just felt like work as a fan. Like if you watched it, it felt like work as opposed
That's
to being
a good description.
Yeah, especially being entertaining for goodness sakes.
It was tough for sure. Well, and I just the fact that both teams just had such a tough time getting rhythm offensively, and my goodness, I mean, some of the penalties there for the Bears. I mean, they could have won that game. That's all there is to it. They just shot themselves in the foot so many times, not keeping their head about themselves. And, man, I'm telling you, I don't know what's going to happen here in a couple weeks, but you might have an all-pure six brawl coming out the way that is. I mean, there was enough chirping and chipping in that game. And I certainly hope that the NFL doesn't put that crew in that game again because they lost control of it.
It got to be a point where it was just, Matt Nagy – you know, so the word that came out today, you know, and Scott Novak was the referee of last night's game between the Bears and the Vikings. So he talked to some pool reporters after the game on that, and Nagy got his unsportsmanlike conduct flag because, as Nagy put it, I'm going to get the official wording on that. When the language crosses the line and it's inappropriate, we throw a flag.
Yeah. Well,
so he got it on.
There is that. And I can understand his frustration because I thought that unnecessary roughness hit on the Bears safety was a joke. I mean, that, we're playing football here, right? I mean, it looks like a bad hit, and in real time you can see that. But that's almost where college has it better. It at least looks at the review of targeting. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, because to that point, by the way, so Doc was on yesterday, D, as you know, and Matt and I and Doc Phil were talking about this, and it was the Godwin hit when he was upended, and then he came back and they said Tampa Bay receiver has a sprained MCL. And credit Dr. Phil, these orthopedic surgeons, they know. He said, I wouldn't be shocked if that's an ACL on top of an MCL. And what do we find out later in the day? He's exactly
sure
right.
Enough.
ACL, he's out for the season. So Tom Brady went on his podcast. And we brought this up yesterday. Because we can't hit high. You know, you don't go after the head, logically speaking, what we've learned about that. And you can't go low on punters. You can't go low, you know, on linemen blocking. You can't go low on quarterbacks. Yet Brady came out his podcast and makes some sort of sense going, yet we can go low on receivers. It's time for a change. Well, then, you know, then you hear people, Derek, say, well, if we can't go high, obviously, and we can't go low, you know, what is it? So we'll, and you know, you got Nagy, you know, complaining about certain calls, which he's probably right to do so. You got Bears defensive coordinator just saying they're trying. Robert Quinn said these refs are trying to control the game a little too much. Let the guys play ball. You see the issue here, Derek.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
There's so much there.
The rule, like you said, though, I think you also kind of, and I've said this for years, is that the rules, there are so many of them, it's hard for them not to really determine what's going on in the game, right? Because here's the classic case. And the emphasis of trying to protect the quarterback, the rule that's got to change, and it's got to change immediately, is this thing where if you're going to go ahead first, guess what? You're on your own. We saw this, I think it was in the Heinicke, wasn't it the Washington-Green Bay game this year, where I think Heinicke went out and he dove for the end zone, but he was just a little bit short and he slid forward. They said it's where you give yourself up because you went head first. Well, you can't have that. I mean, you got to let the quarterback be able to go and try to lunge for the end zone. Well, what's a quarterback sneak then? I mean, isn't every quarterback sneak then essentially you're giving yourself up the minute that you dive forward? I mean, I think the old rule of, okay, if you go first, you know, feet first, you're going to get a penalty. And Eric Kendricks deserved to get kicked out. I know a lot of people don't like that. I mean, that was just dumb.
I mean,
he knows he's going to slide down. Just touch the guy if you can't hold up. I mean, to get near his head is the dumbest thing you can do. But let that be the rule again. What was wrong with the rule of, hey, if you're a quarterback and you're a slide, you guess what? We're going to protect you. If you go forward, guess what? You're on your own. Why do we have to protect them from themselves? If you're going to lose your quarterback for the year because he's going head first, tough. They know what the situation is.
Yeah,
that thing with Kirk yesterday, that should be, you know, at least you should have, if he's going to go head first, fine. But then if he gets hurt, fine.
Who did we see in the collegiate? I know we're up against the clock here, but and I just text Mike Schmidt's going to join us. By the way, those of you thinking about getting down
Mike
to Frisco.
Mike Schmidt?
The Michael, not Mike Jack Schmidt.
Oh, okay.
Mike Schmidt, as in, I've got a way for you to get to Frisco with hotel accommodations.
Oh, nice.
And, yes, that Mike will join us here in a little bit, so he's cool. We got a little bit of time on this. But who was it that we see do a fake slide and then proceeded on his way and then came back and... Was it the collegiate ranks that said?
Yeah, it was Kenny Pickett.
Pittsburgh,
yep.
Yes. And then they said, okay, we can't do that.
Right.
You can't have that both ways. You can't do that both ways. But I thought it was ingenious, Derek. But, of course, you can't do that.
I like that they're going to change that rule, though. I mean, you can't let the guys hesitate. You know, I mean, if you're going to give yourself over the slide, we all got to understand that's going to be how you protect them. And then if you get a penalty like Eric Kendricks last night, guess what? That's on you. All right? But you gotta, if a quarterback can go head first, let him be head first. That's fine. That's on him then.
Yeah.
I just, because this thing, we're right there. I mean, how do you even judge that? Well, he gave himself up here, so that's where we're going to mark it. even if he slides forward. I don't get that at all.
Last night must have been chippy. You know, officials are human.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the officials probably have emotions too, even though they're trying to get, rule those out and just call the game. But you know that they were probably spent up in some of that stuff last night too. You know, that eventually,
for sure.
Yeah, I mean, just leaves it. By the way, not to make this a point, because Derek, you brought up bowl games, and yesterday we were talking about FBS, FCS, and you want to play in this, not. I'll ask both you and Matt, and maybe this means nothing, but there have been 9 bowl games already played. 9. In the span of quarters, how much have you guys taken in the 9 bowl games that have already played?
Because I've been home, I've been.
Oh, I suppose you have. We had the Bahamas Bowl, Middle Tennessee over Toledo. We had the Cure Bowl, Coastal Carolina defeating Northern Illinois. I actually caught some of that. But I had interest. Boca Raton Bowl. You had New Mexico Bowl. You had the Independence Bowl. You had the Lending Tree Bowl. The L.A. Bowl. We had the New Orleans Bowl. Yesterday was the Myrtle Beach Bowl, Tulsa defeating Old Dominion. Now, tonight you have the Idaho Potato Bowl, Kent State and Wyoming.
Yeah.
And that's actually today. That's a 2:30 kickoff, by the way, today, Kent State, Wyoming. So Craig Bowl is going on today. And then you have the Frisco Bowl later tonight, 6:30, San Diego State versus Texas San Antonio. So they'll start. My point being on this, Derek, to what you were talking about, that you're in some of these bowls. If you're a college football fan, you love it. If you certainly have ties to the school or have a pony in the race, you love it. But, how much,
Well, I'd love to, if I could have Truth Serum, the Wonder Woman last two of truth or whatever.
Yes.
And put her on Craig Bull. I'm sure he's enjoying his paychecks at Wyoming or whatever. They're a lot more than they were at Fargo and what have you. But as far as atmosphere and what it means and all that, Frisco, Texas, or playing in Boise State again?
Against Kent State in the Idaho Potato Bowl. Is it true they shower you with fries, the winners? Did I hear that on ESPN?
I don't know. But, if I'm going to a bowl game, I want to go somewhere where there's, palm trees somewhere. If not palm trees, at least the bayou of New Orleans.
I
honestly, Jack, Boise, Idaho? That's like going to Fargo.
I think, but to this point, let's pit the final game of the year in the crowning of a national championship versus your final game of the year, being the winner of fill in the blank bowl. So how many bowls are there that would trump the final game of the year being crowned a national champion? That's really what we're talking about here.
New Year's 6, right?
Yep.
For sure.
Yep.
Then I would say maybe, Outback in Tampa?
Yeah, like Fiesta?
And that's a New Year's 6.
So oh, that's right. Rose, sugar, that's right. Citrus.
So citrus, I would say Orlando, right? I think that would fit in that category. Maybe Sun Bowl in El Paso. That's a pretty good one to wrap up.
How about the Music City Bowl?
That's got some bigger schools in it. You're going to Tennessee, right? Going to Nashville.
Right. Purdue and Tennessee this year, yep.
But, boy, outside of that, for me, not a lot. Did the Jimmy Kimmel L.A. Bowl do a lot for you?
Yeah, it doesn't.
I mean, at some point, I would say in the new stadiums in L.A. and Las Vegas, Jack, don't you think those got to start meaning something more? Would hope.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, and again, that's kind of what we're getting at right there with that. So I hope Craig wins today in a Potato Bowl because remember the old Seinfeld? Well, why will you watch it? Because it's on. And we provide bowl coverage on this too, but it's just so many. But I thought I'd bring it out. There have been 9 bowls played already. How many have you taken in? And that's to put things into perspective,
think about it this way too. So if you want to make the move to the Mountain West and NDSU, that's what you're looking at, right?
Yep.
I mean, you want to be to the point where, like, Montana is, you go play in the middle of a Monday afternoon, or Tuesday afternoon, I should say.
Right.
Right before official Christmas break around here.
You'd be playing.
Ain't much for me.
It'd be like a 2:30 at a certain spot, and then that would be your season. you know, as opposed to what we're going to be talking about with Mike coming up here in the next segment about making a pilgrimage and a Mecca and doing everything that you do down there. So it's good. Well, hey, by the way, thanks. I owe you each like $11 for killing that first minute. I can't believe I'm down the hall in the copy room talking with Greg the Singer Wrestler, and we're going over various things. And I'm like, what time is it? Is it noon? It's 12:13. Thank you very much. Yeah. My text is just blowing up. People just laughing, going, Jack was stuck in the station. All right, D, sounds good, man. We'll do it again hopefully tomorrow. And then we're closing in on the Christmas holiday, so it's all good. It's all good, brother.
Unbelievable. Yes. It's crazy it's here already.
Yeah, it is. We'll chat at you, buddy. Thanks, Derek.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye. Derek Hansen. Derek doing a lot of work from home in the last week or so that's good on that. Matt, have you ever done that? Like, just absolutely time just out the window?
Yeah, at a game or something, you know, you're maybe waiting in line for the concessions or you're talking to somebody.
I can see it like in high school, you're stuck in a lunchroom and you're chatting with who knows, or maybe you're trying to see if you can ask out for prom and the time gets away like, oh, I'm late for accounting, 201, whatever the case may be. That's good. All right, Jack Michael Show to Tuesday edition. Mike Schmidt, yeah, he's got all the details for you. If you want to make that trek and you don't want to do any of the driving, you don't want to worry about making the hotel accommodations, you don't want maybe eateries and things like that, Midwest Sports Tours, they're a great sponsor, and they've got it going on again. We'll chat with Mike coming up next in 740 The Fan. On that chain gang in here on a Tuesday edition Jack Michael Show. 740 The Fan, KNFL. As always, you can text in at 35270. We'll get Mike Schmidt on the horn here in a split second, and we'll chat a little bit about what Midwest Sports Tours can offer you coming up for Frisco. Are you making the trek? Are you making the trek to Frisco? Well, we'll find out coming up soon what Mike has all about, as he will join us here as soon as we can get him on the phone. Yep. As soon as I can give our man his number. In fact, do this. We'll do this on the fly if you want to, Matty, because he has no problem giving. Matt's looking at me today going, Jack, your brain is mush today. First of all, I left him hanging in here. I'm down the hall talking shop, and if I've been a little late, now I'm like, man, yeah, go ahead, give him a jingle. Matt's like, yeah, I need the phone number. That's right. If you want to make a buzz and book your spot too, Mike will let you know. That's his personal number, but I think he's fine with that. 527-7868 with the local number, and they've got a tour ready for you to Frisco, Texas. Now, Mike's been doing this a long time. I think the first time I chatted with Mike, boy, we go back to a decade and a half, possibly, on various radio programs talking about what Midwest Sports Tours has done. They have put down tours together for Vikings games. I think the first time Mike and I chatted easily a decade plus ago, I think that was a UND hockey tour that he put together. And now, obviously, Frisco has been a constant thing. Mike, you'll have to forgive me today. I left like three quarters of my brain down the hall. Poor Matt. poor Matt. Matt's like, yeah, I'll give a buzz. What's his number? Like, oh, we got it now. Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Good. Real good.
Yeah, we got it done. You and I have been chatting radio and what you've been able to provide for how many years, Mike? It seems like just yesterday, but you've been doing this for a decade.
2008. Yes, sir.
13 years ago. Holy cow. And you've provided tours to how many different events over the years, Mike?
Oh, man. I can't even count. I know for Frisco, I think we counted the other day just for Frisco buses, not including the other Premier Bison games, and I think we've had like 30-some.
Man alive. How about that? And here you are again. It's become like a rite of passage or just when these things like happen, boom, you turn around and get it going. So let's talk a little bit about availability. And all the things that we need to go through today, Mike, on this, you know, what's included, what's involved, better to act now than wait a week. Where do we start here, Mike?
Well, the thing everyone's kind of freaking out about tickets and what I've seen for the last decade is there's people trying to make money on the fans. So tickets will be there, especially when the team makers release theirs. There's always tickets, and we can even help you with tickets. But our whole thing with Midwest Sports Tours is you get on the bus, we literally take care of the rest. You know, don't worry about parking, driving. We got the hotel. For Frisco, we set up a tailgate with food and drinks. That's all included. We get you to the game and to the other fan events and have a lot of fun on the way down with different, games to pass the time and prizes. And, the whole idea is just travel worry-free.
That is that sounds like fun, because I know half the time you want to just – a lot of people just want to disconnect from the have-tos, have to drive, have to do this, have to do that, have this and have that. And you eliminate all the have-tos, Mike, which is good. Talk about the transportation on that. You've been on buses. I've lived – half my life is in a plane. The other half is on a charter bus. So I get it, Mike. I understand that. But a casual drive. I mean, I granted, it's a few hours, but it's pretty casual, and the time flies by, doesn't it, Mike?
Yeah, it does. Not only do we take the have-tos out of it, but you get to travel with a bunch of like-minded people who have the same interests. They're sports fans, they're Bison fans, and it is about 17 hours from Fargo, but we make the trek through and on the way back get back. Enough time for people to go to work on Monday. So we found, having done this now 9 times, that people sure enjoy just taking all the hassle out of it.
Yeah, we love that. Mike Schmidt joining us today on the Jack Michaels Show. Midwest Sports Tours is the place in a moment. We'll get to the pricing of this and let you know how you reserve it. Say Matt and I went and he wanted to stop by the House of Mud. I just watched Vacation, Chevy Chase Vacation. They wanted to stop by the House of Mud. On the way down, like, did someone say, hey, let's, but is it a direct shot? Are you stopping for restroom breaks on the way down? What if someone wants to see the world's largest hay bale? Okay, I get it. You're not going to pull a Chevy Chase on this one, but talk about the trip down. Do you chop it up a little bit?
Yeah, we definitely do. The migration starts in Bismarck. We pick up in Valley in Jamestown, rendezvous with all the Fargo folks, and then we stop like Sioux Falls, Omaha, somewhere in Kansas, which most people are sleeping then, but if you need to get out, there's a stop. Oklahoma for breakfast, and then we get down there right in time for lunch on Friday.
Games on Saturday at 11 a.m., and you mentioned that this includes food. You've got tailgate food and beverages, right? A couple of breakfasts involved in this, right, Mike?
Yeah, 2 breakfasts. We stay at the Hyatt Place, North Dallas. We've stayed there for years. They take care of us. There's actually a shuttle if you want to go join some friends, depending on how far away they are. And then we make the bus available for like the fan pep fest and obviously to the game and back. And we've been down there so many times, we found all these fun places to go eat and hang out. Make that available to you too.
So you would think, and now we'll get to the nuts and bolts of this, but you would think as you hear Mike talk about today and what they offer and take away all this other stuff that usually is the worrisome part of driving, they take away all that. You would think that this is probably starts with a 7 or an 8 or a 9 or $1,000. And, you're thinking, oh, okay, yeah, it sounds worth it. I mean, they take away all that. Let's talk pricing, Mike. What's it going to cost folks to take advantage of this?
Yeah, so prices start at $459. That's per fan that'd be 4 to a room, triple occupancies $479, and double 2 to a room is just $509.
Great price. Great price. You're not going to beat it, Mike. And I know that you've factored that over the years too, and it is I don't know how you're able to kind of keep that low. But, you know, that's part of it. That's why you guys are pretty successful, don't you think, Mike? That's why people like going with Midwest Sports Tours.
Yeah, we want to keep it reasonable, and we want, you know, when I started this, I want to throw an event on, or I want to do a trip that I would want to go on. You know, we have fun, and that's really, you know, I mean, lifelong memories are made on these trips. And if you haven't been to Frisco, you know, this we've said it a couple times, but this might be the last chance. If you have been, you know what it's all about and how cool it is. And it should be on every North Dakotan's bucket list, even if you're not a Bison fan, so to speak. Just to see the migration down there is something else.
Just the experience. Mike, the easiest question I have for you to knock out of the park is, how do people book a package? How do people book their trip? What's the easiest thing for those to do?
Yep, just give me a call, 701-527-7868, or you can email me at Midwest Sports Tours, that's sports with an S at the end, tours with an S at the end, at gmail.com, and we'll get you loaded. The first bus is already full, working on that second one.
That is that's fantastic. Again, that's 701-527-7868. It's 527-7868 or Midwest Sports Tours, plural, tours at gmail.com. Midwest Sports Tours at gmail.com. Mike, good to hear from you. I can't believe we've been doing this for 13 years, chatting about your various stuff, but you keep providing a way for people to get to those big events. So keep it up, and I know it won't be the last time we talk. We'll probably check in with you from time to time, kind of to see where you're sitting, because I know that you want people to know that. But earlier the better, right, Mike? I guess we'll let you leave with the last word here. What is your recommendation for folks that are thinking about it?
Yeah, get in now. Don't worry about the tickets. Everyone's kind of overreacting right now. They are always there. Like I said, we've done this 9 times. If you're worried about a ticket, we can help you secure those too. But we're just excited to go back. It's a phenomenal thing. This fan base has been one of the luckiest in all of sports the last decade to experience the you know what we've done with all these championships.
Yeah, and the fact that this is in North Dakota State and Montana State. It seems like a couple of neighboring states, you know, going toe-to-toe. That's that makes it extra special, I think, this year. It's really going to be fun. Game is January 8th. That's 11 a.m. kickoff. And I didn't even ask, when did you say you depart? I know that you said Valley, Jamestown, Fargo, pick up there. What's the date?
So we'll leave Thursday the 6th. Buses will leave mid-afternoon from Bismarck, so if people want to work half a day, they can. And then the Fargo, it'll be after work, so anybody that wants to work a full day Thursday from the Fargo market definitely has that ability. So.
Perfect. 701-527-7868 or MidwestSportsTours at gmail.com. That's the email you can get a hold of Mike. Michael, thank you very much. I appreciate having you on, and like I said, we'll touch base again soon. Thanks, Mike.
Sounds great.
You got it. Mike Schmidt, Schmidt's joining us today on the Jack Michaels Show. Quick time out. We'll come back with more on a Tuesday edition. I promise, Matt, I'm not going anywhere. And any numbers you need, I will have for you. This. Back with more after this on 740 The Fan. You know, the Red Hawks, when they play Cleveland in that series, that's a 17, I timed it, it's 17 hours and 43 minutes. And it's kind of, this is going to sound strange that, you know, because once you get to Kansas City, you're kind of like, okay, we're in KC, now the rest is gravy. It's like 9-10 hours left, you're getting back to the Valley. You know, that's it. The state that is insanely long is Texas. Like, it feels like you could drive from North Dakota to Oklahoma, like, now. Then you hit that Texas border, and you don't realize how big the state of Texas is. It's in that. But actually, those bus trips, Mike and his crew, they really break that down. Obviously, it's not like driving from Harvey to Rock Lake, you know, or something. I mean, it's obviously you're going through some stage. You're going from next to Canada to close to Mexico. So, I mean, not necessarily close, but you know what I mean. They pass the time pretty well on that, and it's really a good price. What's the longest bus or train trip you've ever taken? There's one for my text club today at 3527. What's the longest bus or train? And people still go by train. I was chatting with my friend Adam Arso, who's one of the assistant coaches at UND. He says, you ever travel by train? I said, once. Well, a couple times. It's not too bad. You're leaving at an unbelievable hour, like at 3 in the morning from some depot. But it's not a comfortable chair. You got a dining car. It's actually quite casual to travel by train. And by bus, mine is 1743. I just nailed it. My longest bus is 1743. Hey, don't stop. That'll get a little hairy on that whole thing. But I'm just curious, your longest trip it up. But they make it worth your while. I don't, this day and age, while I was kind of away for that 13 minutes span, I was in, Greg Ressler and I were chatting in production, and he said, you should go on your show. We were trying to think of a text club question, which I guess I threw kind of a casual one out there. But in this land of Christmas, we're in Christmas, and you know we're a couple days away from Christmas. So your movie watching has got to be off the charts, and all the regular movies, you're seeing this. It's a Christmas Story, and you know all of the movies are out there. Die Hard is considered, I guess, a Christmas movie because it's on around Christmas and it's got that going on. So Greg said you should ask on the Jack Michaels show greatest line from any. And I'm using quotations now, Christmas movie. Greatest line from any Christmas-type holiday movie. And I turned to Greg, and feel free, we'll take him at 35270. You can text him in. I said, Greg, you know what people are going to text in, right? And it's going to be the line, well, the visual is Cousin Eddie in the street with pouring his sewage down the drain, and then he has a line that his first word you can't say on the air, but it's contracted. It shows possession. And then, you know the line I'm getting at, Matt. That's what people are going to text in with, blank full, possibly would be one of the greatest lines. But if that's not the greatest line from any holiday or Christmas-type movie, what would it be? And would 80, my buddy Juno, if he's tuning in today, I'll guarantee you it would come from the movie Christmas Vacation. Something, I said, in fact, you could literally put our list together with simply 19 lines from that movie alone. Kind of gift that keeps on giving, Clark. Fat Cat had 9 lines, he just spent them all. I mean, Matt, greatest line. Every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings. That's a line.
Oh, definitely. Right? I mean, Wonderful Life. I mean, an absolute classic. And
you're going to shoot your eye out, kid.
Right. I mean, try to think of something maybe from Home Alone that's pretty memorable.
Greg said, send that out on your show today. See what comes in on the text club at 35270. I said, I will. But I'll guarantee you someone's going to be firing off Cousin Eddie lines left and right, which is fine, too. Home Alone's got, well, what's the most popular line in Home Alone?
Oh, boy.
I'd have to really dissect that anyway. So anyway, that's why I was a little tardy. Not that I haven't been in here since 5 this morning, so I was a little tardy for the noon show today. The National Hockey League, the headlines read, NHL put on pause. The questions remain, I think, after this. So and this is where we are in sports. And again, we have 2 more football games today. Tomorrow's Wednesday. It's an off, and then Week 16 begins Thursday. And we still know Travis Kelce's in the COVID pools. It is going to play a factor. You can't say that it's not. You've got third-string quarterbacks coming into games. You've got wide receivers. The Bears, even though their playoff hopes are dashed, they were depleted of basically their secondary and their defense, playing a team that, you know, basically had to win. If the Vikings didn't win that game yesterday, last night, you know what their percentage was to make the playoffs? 7. In fact, seven's abundant. They wanted to go to 7-7, and now are in seventh place. And had they not won it, their percentage to be in the playoffs would have been 7%. That's, and you can't tell, like, think about that. So other teams are going, well, look at this. Vikings are playing Chicago. They got kids, the guys in protocol, and their defense decimated. Of course Minnesota's going to win that football game. It makes an impact, and there's nothing you can do about it. The NHL is going to pause the season, and they'll do it tonight. And they're resuming after Christmas break. Obviously, there's been a flurry of shutdowns. By the way, what happened to the Wild last night? I caught part of it. I was
seven goals. That's not going to get it done.
Did Everson? I heard it. Didn't he? I pulled his goalie with 9 minutes to go in the third. And then I played the kind of the montage. They asked him what's up, and he says we're selfish. And I think what he's alluding to, a guy's just staying on the ice, trying to, you know, something's off a little bit. So the NHL in the aftermath, what's the unpause going to look like? Is there going to be a change in protocols? You know, are there going to be changes made? You know, the NFL is kind of tweaking out some of theirs. What's the impact it has on Olympics? What about All-Star Weekend? You know, there's a lot of stories that came out after this pause. You know, once they pause it, what's the play going to be like when they come back? Don't you have to have some kind of a ramp up, amp up? You know, the bodies are built to go. So, Matt, the NHL, I don't know. The return to play, the weekly testing for asymptomatic, are they going to take that away and maybe target more like the NFL is doing? I don't know. What's the other side of this looking like for the NHL?
Yeah, I mean, they only have one player who's unvaxxed, I believe, and that's a player for the Red Wings, but... You know, they have the Olympic pause built in February. Well, now they're probably not even going to be able to go to the Olympics because you got to get this season in. I mean, unless you want to play, the Stanley Cup in August.
You don't want to be doing that. So anyway, we'll get to all that and more as we move along this. But after tonight, that'll be paused. Bowl games, again, Kent State and Wyoming today at 2:30. The Idaho Potato Bowl, then tonight Frisco Bowl, San Diego State and Texas San Antonio. Wolves in action tonight at KFGO. Matt, you will be in what community?
I'll be in Colfax, Richland, taking on Kindred. So little kind of final tune-up before the Christmas break for a lot of high schools right now. And so, yeah, should Kindred, you know, of course... Got a couple wins after losing to Hillsboro CV, but they should get on the right track tonight.
HCV losing last night to Ada Borup West, I believe, yesterday in basketball. Good stuff. And then tomorrow, North Dakota State. The men are in Fargo. The women are at the Betty and Grand Forks. Good stuff. Stick around. Comet is next in 740, The Fan.